pop your pants. You've got this. How are you feeling right now?
I feel amazing. We did it. It's 2014.
Welcome to The Jump, presented by Dell.
Pots and pans, Cam, indeed. Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, joined alongside with my bubble co-host, pickleball aficionado, Richard Jefferson. We are outside at the lovely Coronado Springs Hotel at Walt Disney World today because the court over at the arena is undergoing a finals makeover as we speak. It is raining behind us because this is Florida and it rains here in the afternoon. But, you know, we're still going to make this exciting, Richard.
It's fine. Amazing.
I'm okay with it.
I am very excited because we get to debut the court tomorrow here on The Jump. And joining Richard and I today is our longtime contributor, Amin El-Hassan, who went, yes, count them, 6 months without getting a haircut due to his decision not to leave his house during coronavirus, which I applaud.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it got...
Oh, wow.
It got a lot.
What is our guy? I like the last one the most.
Amin, though, made the trip to New York City and finally got a cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Love the music.
Aww.
Thanks, guys. You know, it's funny.
Amin, how do you feel? Do you feel like 10 pounds
lighter? I feel 10 pounds lighter. I feel a lot less harassed at the airport, which is a good thing. But I got to say, Rachel, looking at Richard, you look like you came off the bowling ball assembly line, man. What's going on? Your head is so shiny. It is distractingly so.
We'll have Jackie McMullen joining us as well to discuss where the Celtics go from here after making it to the Eastern Conference Finals, but falling short to the Heat. Stay tuned for that. But first, 2020 owed us this one. It has been the worst year that many of us have lived through. And while a basketball matchup like Lakers-Heat is not going to cure a global pandemic or fix racism, it is a refreshing change right now to have the universe deliver something so absolutely fun. We're going to get to see Jimmy Butler go against LeBron James, Bam Adebayo versus Anthony Davis, Heat culture versus the second coming of Showtime. Pat Riley versus, well, everybody. Riley's involvement here really is just fascinating. Here is a guy who is as responsible as anyone for inventing the 80s identity that the Lakers carry to this day. A decade ago in Miami, he then became the godfather of the super team, well, at least the modern version. And now he's riding a group that is all old school in both concept and construction. But wait, when it comes to the intrigue in this series, as the old infomercials used to say, there's more. There's the Lakers' vow to use these playoffs to honor Kobe Bryant and all the emotion and burden that comes with it. There's Andre Iguodala playing in his sixth straight NBA Finals. LeBron in his ninth in 10 years, which is just, I mean, that is insane, people. Over the weekend, I asked LeBron what he did during the NBA Finals last year, his lone year away in a decade. He said he was in a bunch of different places, including a vacation house in Cabo and, wait for it, a hookah lounge, of course. But he also said that he watched every minute and even started visualizing what he himself would have done on every possession. Well, he won't have to visualize anything this year, and neither will Butler, who imagined and predicted this moment and now gets to actually go live it. Here was Jimmy sitting down with me before this year's playoffs started. Keep in mind, we had this conversation right after the Heat had fallen to the number 5 seed with a projected second round date with reigning MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks looming. And yet Jimmy still said this. So how far can the Miami Heat go down here?
We can win this.
You think you can win the whole thing?
Yes. Yes.
You know you're not favored to.
I don't care. Speaking for myself, I don't give a damn what anybody says. And I think I can speak for my teammates when I say they don't give a damn either.
Now, during last night's trophy ceremony, I checked in with Jimmy on that prediction.
So you still just that confident?
Very much so. I think Coach Pat and everybody else in the organization did a great job of putting this group together. We've been together. We've been in each other's corner all year long, and it doesn't stop here. We got 4 more to go.
And why not have that confidence after what the Heat have pulled off here in the bubble? For all the talk about how much talent the Boston Celtics have, it was Miami that went on a 35-17 run to close out the Eastern Conference Finals, setting off celebrations from South Beach to Little Havana. We got car parades of fans banging the pots and pans.
Oh, it's so good.
Good. Love that sound. We got Heat jerseys flooding the streets. Dwayne Wade and DJ Khaled partying all over the internet.
That's awesome.
Oh, and the party the Heat themselves had at the hotel here in the bubble. Jimmy walked in wearing an Eric Spoelstra University of Portland jersey, which is amazing, and a tribute well earned. Spoelstra himself has a great story. Yes, you've seen the pictures. He started out as the Heat's video coordinator. But the real story with him now is just how elite a coach he has become. Take a look at where he ranks among some of the best coaches this league has ever seen. He is just a flat-out winner. Can he add to that in this year's finals, facing his own former field general in LeBron? For the next couple weeks, we will get to watch and see and experience the joy and exhilarations of high-stakes basketball at its finest, which this year, of all years, I am pretty grateful for indeed. All right, Richard, the rain has just come behind us.
It's awesome. I'm ready.
I'm into these conditions.
I'm like a field reporter now. Right? It's good. Let's go.
You're so many things. Yeah, so I would like to know what your impressions are, though, of a Heat-Lakers finals.
I'm excited. You know, one, you know, in the media, there are storylines. There are opportunities to talk about Jimmy Butler and his, you know, really his journey from, you know, Chicago to Minnesota to Philly to now here as a leader of a team. Obviously, LeBron James and what he's been able to accomplish has been well documented. But you also have guys like Anthony Davis that are here for the first time. You have Dwight Howard and Rondo that have revitalized their career to help lead a team that hadn't been to the postseason in 8 years in the Lakers. And so I'm excited about this. There's a lot to gain for both teams, and there's also a lot to lose for both teams.
Yeah, you know, this is a great series. I think it's the combination of when you talk about it, LeBron James, obviously, ascending to his rightful place in the league as the best player, and the team he used to play for. And I can't think of anything better than watching his analytical mind, his high IQ, try to decipher and break down what the Heat do both defensively with the zone and then offensively with all the ball movement and body movement they have going. And Rachel, I got to tell you, even though I'm not sure you can hear me over there, I kind of knew this was going to happen.
It took me a minute. I couldn't hear you at the top of the show, but now I
kind of knew this was going to happen. I had an idea way back when, back at the trade deadline, that the Miami Heat would be in the NBA Finals, and I actually have on my phone the emails.
Please share.
For the hotel reservations that I made for the finals. I made two different reservations. I made one in case the Heat didn't have home court, and then one, hey, maybe they do have home court. But as soon as they acquired Andre Iguodala and Jay Crowder, I had a premonition that this moment would happen. Welcome to Heat Island, everybody.
Well, I will say this. I started the show talking about how 2020 owed us one. It is one of the great robberies of this year. When we get to the more frivolous stuff, I'm obviously not talking about the more serious stuff, but on the frivolous side of things, the fact that Los Angeles and Miami are not hosting these games.
Oh, no.
It's so sad.
So sad.
It's just so sad.
Now we're here getting rained on in Orlando instead of being
in Miami.
You're
not the Wicked Witch of the West. You're not going to melt.
I'm fine. I needed this after those pickleball matches this morning.
Please. All right. Coming up, we have so much more to come on the show. We got a good top five for you. We've got Celtics talk with Jackie McMullen. Stick around. We will be right back. It's just a little damp. It's damp.
And you ain't got to say nothing to me.
All right, guys, we got some celebrations going on in Miami. I lived in South Florida right after college. That pots and pans celebration, I will hear that in my sleep for the rest of my life. It is just the most fun way the city lets loose. And Amin, you are the mayor of Heat Island.
That I am.
By the way, I should note before we, there we go, see? And I should note, by the way, before we continue, that it was raining so much here in the bubble, it started thunder and lightning, which is why we have moved to our indoor location. And shout out to our producers, Andrea, Melinda, Dave McMenamin passed by, carried a light.
It was a team effort.
It was very, very impressive. All right, so Amin, I think I know the answer from your sunglasses. Will there be a parade on Heat Island? Who you got in the NBA Finals?
Well, first of all, I want to say with the thunder and lightning, I'm glad Richard is indoors because he's like a lightning rod. That head is shining like a 200-watt light bulb. But as far as will there be a parade, you know, there won't be a parade in real life because we are observing COVID protocols, as we should. But as I always say on the Dan Le Batard show, it's about theater of the mind. And yes, on the island, we will have a parade, ladies and gentlemen. I've got the Miami Heat in 6 games. 6 games for the Miami Heat to take down the mighty LeBron James. I can't wait. Because as I said in the first segment, the battle of the minds. You have Eric Spoelstra, who I don't think gets enough credit. People give him credit for being a great coach. But as far as being prepared and throwing out all the different types of looks and possibilities, he's tops in the league as far as I'm concerned. And then LeBron James, you know, you guys know this. He's like a mini computer. If he's seen something once, it doesn't get deleted. He hits Control F on the PDF that is his brain, and he looks it up again. In 2011, as a member of the Miami Heat, he fell to the zone defense that Dallas played to a wonderful 6-game win for them. Miami might try to pull this Heat zone out against him. I think LeBron's seen it and remembers it and will be able to react accordingly. So I'm excited, but I do have the Miami Heat in 6 games.
He's going to 100% see a ton of that zone.
And 100% remember it, by the way. 100%
remember it. But look, the Laker three-point shots, their free throw shots, those are the things that are going to be the biggest concern. You want to know one area that you can force a team into three, and that's playing a ton of zone. So I do agree with you. I mean, he's going to see this. But this is a great series. Why? Because everyone has the Lakers as the favorite. If the Lakers win, nobody be surprised. But there is not a person here in this bubble, there's not a person in America that if Miami Heat were to win, feels like it would be this crazy upset. Not if you're looking at team versus team, it's more of like the star, LeBron James, Anthony Davis versus the stars of the Miami Heat. But I think this is so, so close. I think it's very similar to Miami versus Boston, except the Lakers are gonna be favored.
So first of all, you didn't answer the question, Richard, is there gonna be a parade on Heat Island or not?
Well, I was piggybacking off what
I know, but you're gonna have to actually make a decision.
Sunglasses inside is
make
wearing.
A decision, what would you say?
There is not going to be a traditional parade, but there will be a parade. There will be something. I know one thing. In America, the people that party the hardest are the South Floridians.
Here's what I know. The state of Florida has a lot of things open even during COVID time, so there could be a parade if Miami Heat wins.
Rachel, all the regulations.
I'm just saying, Rachel,
we're
you
getting
don't
our
know.
Flan,
we just don't know.
We're getting our we're getting everything. We're going to all Cuban food.
You're making up names. You're making up names. Take off those glasses.
Get some makeup on that head.
After that, we are sending Amin away, as much as we love him. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Elhassan. Thank you for getting your hair cut. Coming up next, Jackie McMullen is joining the party. She's going to talk a little bit of Boston Celtics. She's also going to discuss how much Nugget stock we should be buying for next season. They're young, talented, and hungry. I've heard that somewhere. Have you?
Yes.
There we go. But will that be enough to keep them in the top tier out west? Stick around to find out. We're indoors, Richard.
We are indoors.
Welcome back to The Jump, presented by Dell.
The NBA Finals start Wednesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 Pacific on ABC, Deportes, and the app. Jimmy Butler and the Heat taking on LeBron. Anthony Davis and the Lakers are Game 1 coverage tips with NBA Countdown at 8:30. Put Bam in that promo, too, by the way.
Bam is the Bam.
Boom. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. I'm still here with Richard Jefferson. And look who has joined us. NBA senior writer, the Hall of Famer, Jackie McMullen. Thank you so much for being with us today.
As always, hello, Rachel and Richard.
Hello.
I do want to discuss the fourth quarter of the East Finals with you because, man, the Celtics were fighting for their playoff lives, and yet they were outscored by 10 points
after going to the final frame when they were only down by two going into the fourth quarter. Jackie, what happened to them?
Well, I think it's fair to call it a Miami meltdown. I mean, what the Miami Heat did was, behind Bam, they came right at them. And the Celtics panicked, Rachel and Richard. I couldn't believe it as I was watching it. They started to trail a little bit. They started frying up three-pointers, trying to get it all back at once. That's something that a very young, inexperienced team does. I don't really consider the Celtics a young, inexperienced team. So I think for the very long offseason that they're going to have, they're going to go back at that fourth quarter and wish they played it differently, especially on the offensive end. Now, I'm the president of the Marcus fan club. You know that, Rachel. I've watched this kid from his rookie on in. But when Marcus Smart takes 22 shots and Jaylen Brown only takes 17 and Kemba Walker only takes 15, your game plan isn't the right game plan.
No, Jackie, I agree. You know, one thing I also want to look at is that first quarter. You know, you saw Jason Tatum get off to a slow start. A lot of it was just quick shots. There were not a lot of dribble penetration out to open shots. It was come up, one pass, maybe one swing.
Right.
You know, guys were teeing up. Now, they got off to a slow start, but ultimately they picked it up. But in the fourth quarter, it kind of went back to that. Not a lot of ball movement. One pass and shot. They just kept speeding up. And it just looked like they could never regain that rhythm. And you want to give Miami Heat credit, but ultimately you look at the way that Boston was shooting some of these shots early in the shot clock. It's almost like they were 10 points down, not like it was an even game, and they just couldn't get that rhythm.
I agree. That they're a young team in years and numbers, but they're not a young team in experience, right? The core of this team was there in the conference finals a couple of years ago, right? In fact, for Boston, this is their third conference finals loss in 4 years. Now, on the bright side, first of all, you've gotten to three conference finals. That's pretty good. And it's also, of course, an improvement over the dysfunction of last season. Even after the loss, we heard the Celtics themselves sounding pretty upbeat about the team's future. Take a listen.
We fought hard, man. And that's all you can ask for, you know. You want guys to compete at a really high level. And I'm just proud of all these guys. You know, it's been a really fun year.
I believed in this group. You know, I think we were capable. We had more than enough to get the job done. And a lot of guys got so much better this year, even throughout the season. You know, so much better from last season. So just to see guys continue to grow and get better, it's a lot of fun.
We had a really good group, a young group, a talented group. That's only going to do nothing but improve.
Jackie, I'm going to go to you on this because Richard was too distracted by Jason's Duke hat to answer. Where do the Celtics go from here, do you think? Do you think that there is a roster issue that they have to address, or do you think it's more mental and just how they execute?
Well, I think they need to get another big. That, I think, is probably obvious to everyone. But if I'm the Boston Celtics, I'm disappointed because I think if I'm the Celtics, I should have won this series. But going forward, all your pieces are in place. You're going to sign Jason Tatum to that max contract. Jaylen Brown's still under contract. You got Kemba for a while. Gordon Hayward, he's got a $32 million option. I don't think it's a stretch to say, of course, he's going to sign on for that.
He's going to pick up that, yeah.
He's going to take that. And, you know, Gordon Hayward, to me, is important to this team. And I'm sure he's disappointed in his performance in this game. But I also think that he came back 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe even 4 weeks early from that ankle sprain because the team needed him. He played. He obviously wasn't himself. He won't use that excuse. I understand that because once you're on the floor, you got to play. But I think next year, I'd be happy if I were the Boston Celtics. I like my roster. I've got three first-round draft picks and a second-round pick, as usual. So I, you know, they've got to learn from this. Though, that the one thing about the Heat, I'll say this: when you watch them when they were down, I watched Iggy and I'm watching Jimmy Butler, and I see no panic. I just see guys that have been there before that are like, "This is cool, we got this." That kind of mental toughness. I hope the Celtics, these young guys, can learn from that.
That makes sense. I mean, Jackie, I do want to follow up with a roster question for you, though. To your point.
Sure.
We've known all year that the Celtics needed another big, right? And that they had the assets in terms of draft picks, but the feeling was that they would have to give up, say, a Gordon Hayward or someone else that they really depend on their roster to make a trade like that. do you see coming up, either because contract years have now going to flip over or other opportunities are going to be around, is there a trade that you think that they could make? And I'm not asking you to do the whole trade machine right now, but do you feel that generally they can do that?
I'm not sure they will, Rachel, because I still think they believe in the way they play, which is positionless basketball. And I think they believe, you know, you want to have some big bodies, but I think the league, as we see, is trending a different way. And we talk about Bam Adebayo. Is he a true big? Is he really? I mean, my, he's so much more than that to me. He's not a traditional back to the basket, post up guy. He's a great passer. He runs the floor. So I'm not sure that the Celtics feel like, oh my gosh, we got to go out and get a five or we can't go anywhere. They play a certain style, and I expect them to stick with that.
All right. Well, I do want to move on to the Denver Nuggets as well, since over the weekend they did lose in the Western Conference Finals. Doesn't take away, right, from what a great run they had here in the bubble. They became the only team ever to come down from 3-1 deficits in a series twice in a single postseason. Jamal Murray just elevated his game to new heights. And if you take a look at the West standings from this season, at minimum, these will be the teams that the Nuggets have to worry about next year, right? So look at who's above them. Lakers still going to be a threat. Clippers still be a threat, right? And the Warriors are going to get Steph Curry and Klay Thompson back healthy. So they also have the number 2 pick in the draft. Richard, how much stock are you buying in the Nuggets for next season?
Well, I'm buying a ton of stock, especially when, you know, the Nuggets with that number 2 pick in the draft, like they have the option to go get a very, very good big in Wiseman. I'm just saying, when you look at what the Nuggets are playing, the Nuggets are playing and what they need to do to kind of keep in this momentum, they just need to continue to develop talent. They need to develop, you know, Jokic, Jamal Murray, and these guys are going to have to prove. It is one thing to go and win here in the bubble, quote unquote, on a game 7 on the road. Now you got to go do that when there's, you know, 25,000 people screaming at you and you're forced to travel. So I think they were one of the teams that really benefited from the no home court advantage. And so I don't think they need to change anything. They're getting better every single year. Last year, 2 years ago, they didn't make the postseason. Last year, they were one game away from the conference finals. And here, they were actually able to win a game in the conference finals. So if you're looking at the transition and the growth of their team, they have all the pieces to continue, you know, down this road.
Yeah, Rachel, I'm bullish on the Nuggets. And Richard, you mentioned playing against opposing fans. The little I know of Jamal Murray, that is not going to faze him one bit. He's the kind of guy that really thrives off of that. I don't think we've seen anywhere near the ceiling of Jamal Murray. I don't think we've seen the ceiling of Jokic. And I know we haven't seen the ceiling of Michael Porter Jr., who you can see all the potential there. He's got some defense to work on. Don't all young players. But what I love about the Nuggets is they've got to sign Jeremy Grant. That's for sure.
Yes.
But beyond that, they've got a bunch of homegrown guys that have been together for a long time that believe in each other. They got a great coach in Mike Malone. They obviously respond to him. I'm not counting the Nuggets out next year. Do it at your own peril.
Well, and one thing that I will also say is you look at what Pat Riley did, and he went out and got veterans that have been through this fight. You go and get Jay Crowder. You go and get Andre Iguodala, and look at the first half that Andre Iguodala had. Look at the game that he had in the most important game of the year, because if you get to game 7, now the pressure flips to Miami. The most important game for the Miami Heat, Andre Iguodala comes up big. Yes, you need to sign Jeremy Grant if you're the Denver Nuggets. I don't know what they're going to do with Paul Millsap, but they need to find one or two more veterans that can kind of mix in with those young players, give them a calm, give them some guidance, and maybe even show up in a moment that you wouldn't expect them because they've been there before.
We will see. It's going to be such a good chess match. I love after, what, we had 5 years where the NBA seemed like we knew what the ending was going to be. Now, it wasn't always exactly what we thought, but we had a good feeling of, hey, the Warriors are this mighty super team. I feel like now we're entering into this great period. Nobody, I think, would have expected the Miami, I wouldn't say nobody, Jimmy Butler expected the Miami Heat to be in the finals, but it certainly wasn't predicted. And you've got now in the West, we're talking about next year, you've got the Nuggets, Lakers, Clippers,
it's
Rockets,
it's going to be the
Warriors,
Lakers and LeBron James, right? For the 97,000th time.
In the East, you've got the Bucks, you've got the Nets making their entrance to the party when Kyrie and KD are back. You've got so many different things going on in this league right now. I think it is so much fun. All right, stick with us, please. Up next, we will discuss where this finals trip with the Lakers ranks for LeBron James. Given that he's making his 10th appearance, there is a lot of competition. We will rank them. Keep it locked to the Jump.
The The Jump is presented by the new XPS 13. Every little thing is everything.
It all comes down to this, a winner go home game five with a spot in the finals against the Storm on the line. The Sun take on league MVP Asia Wilson and the Aces. That's Tuesday, tomorrow, 7:30 Eastern, ESPN2 and the ESPN app.
My shoulders is wide enough to carry a lot of load, but my mind is stronger. I always keep my mind strong, and I'm happy to just be in this position.
I don't know if I've ever witnessed a guy take over a game the way he did in the fourth quarter tonight. In person, you know, it's just, it was remarkable.
Special guy, man. I mean, time and time again, we have to remind people, he has to remind people, we forget this guy's the greatest player in the goddamn world.
When you just step back and look and marvel at what LeBron is doing at this stage of his career, how he continues to find ways to improve and get better and take whatever team he's on to new heights, you know, that defines his greatness.
I guess that's Frank Sinatra would say, I did it my way.
LeBron has done it his way into 9 of the last 10 NBA Finals. I know we keep saying that, but it's still ridiculous. Last year's injury-plagued debut in Los Angeles was, of course, the lone exception. He has 10 total finals trips in 17 years for his career. Only Bill Russell and Sam Jones have made more with 12 and 11, respectively. So, Richard, given all of his different trips to the finals, where does this one rank for LeBron James?
Well, you know, and just in knowing him personally, like, you know, I asked him, I was like, you know, what was the most impressive championship for you? And he said his first one in Miami, right? Because they got the winning the championship. I know we're talking about his finals appearances, but for him, his brain doesn't register that way. His brain only registers in wins. He is happy to be here. He is expecting to be here. But ultimately, it's all about if they can get it done and they can win. That's what's most important to him. And he said it's of all the championships, the first one, because he finally felt like he accomplished his goal.
Huh. That's an interesting answer. I'm surprised. I would have guessed down 3-1 in 2016, which, Richard, you know a little bit about because you were there. That was one of the most incredible things I've ever seen. But the reason this one is pretty cool, too, is just all the circumstances surrounding it. You look at the bubble and the mental tenacity it takes to survive it, because we hear more and more now as teams are leaving the bubble and players are back home again, how difficult it is, what a grind is, what concentration it requires. And clearly that's not an issue for LeBron James or for the Lakers, as it turns out. So I'm sure this is a special one because everyone is special, and he's going to be wearing a Lakers uniform if in fact they do it. But if you ask me what's the greatest one of all for LeBron James, I go back to 2016 when you're down to 3-1 against a team that won 73 wins and nobody thought they were going to lose. That was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen.
That's my leader in the clubhouse, too. Although, of course, the reason it is because what happened in those finals. So we don't know what happens in this final. So we'll get a revote. We'll get a recount after the series ends. And Richard, I appreciate it. This is the first time in the almost 20 years I've known you that you've been modest and not picked yourself. So I really, that's lovely
of you. Don't
worry.
If this segment goes any longer, don't worry.
Good.
I'm going to figure out a way to weasel it in.
A way to get there. I do think when you look at the ingredients for this run in this finals, you have the fact that he is at the age he is in his 17th season. Jackie, you mentioned the mental toughness. We said that a lot going into the bubble of, oh, it's going to be a case, you know, a game of survivor. But that's really what happened. If you look at especially the final four teams that ended up here, the mental tenacity that they had became such a key part of all of their runs. So we've seen that as well. And then, yeah, I mean, look, the Lakers have been very open about the fact that they are dedicating this to Kobe's memory and trying to represent him. And they're wearing special uniforms that have the Black Mamba print on them, and his first year in L.A. with all of the drama that came with. So I think it's going to be a very, very interesting run. I'm so excited. Start Wednesday night right here, ABC and ESPN. We'll be back tomorrow.